I think my calling is to connect with people. I think one of my strengths, I should say, is that I can connect pretty easily with people, and I try to be as connected to something authentic as possible.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. This is Z Holly in for Esprit Devora, and I'm really excited to have Julia Rose on this podcast, and we're going to talk about something that probably isn't discussed too often on an average run-of-the-mill tech podcast. The company is called Vigini, so you can imagine maybe what where this is used. And we'll hear a little bit about it. We're gonna get into that, the aspect of the product and her entrepreneurial journey. So welcome, Julia.
Thank you so much, G. I'm excited to be here.
Welcome to Women in Tech. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this company?
So I am creating a product called the Vigini. And as you said, I'm sure imaginations can run wild and get pretty close, actually, at least physically speaking, to the part of the body we're addressing. We are a women's health product. We are basically creating a product that helps women do their Kegels, addressing the $66 billion pelvic floor dysfunction market. So Kegels are really important. We kind of all know we're supposed to do them, but we don't because they are boring and they're also difficult to figure out how to do. So we've created a product. It's a device that works with an app, connects via Bluetooth, that not only teaches women how to do their exercises correctly, but we make it fun because, ladies, you are going to be playing video games that are controlled by your Kegels. Yeah, down in the woohoo area.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, super fun.
And what's the role? You're the founder.
I am. I'm one of those, I almost say an accidental entrepreneur, because I had an experience, a personal experience that sort of opened my eyes up to the fact that this is an incredible fitness need and health need that all women need to be aware of and address. The idea that at some point in our lives, almost all of us will have weak pelvic floor muscles. And yes, pelvic floor muscles are not something we typically talk about all the time, but they're an incredibly important set of muscles that sit in our pelvis, and they connect to our core muscles, they connect to our lower back, and they're responsible for supporting our bladder, uterus, rectum, things like that. And oftentimes they're very difficult to access and exercise and keep healthy. So we have all sorts of problems. We like pee our pants. We have like bladders falling out of our bodies. We have like back pain and hip pain, and no one's really been talking about it, but there's a pretty easy way to address a lot of this, at least preventatively.
And that's really amazing that you're helping bring that conversation to the fore, because people don't usually feel comfortable talking about it.
No, they don't. And I think, certainly I'm very excited about this shift in cultural awareness around women's issues right now. I think that there's a tailwind behind us that's helping this accelerate the conversation. But, when we started thinking about doing this a few years ago, I was very aware that this was a conversation that was going to be tricky to have. But as I saw the need and the importance for these conversations and to address these kinds of fitness needs and health needs, I was really curious about how we would be able to do that. And I think the number one reason was I myself didn't even know about a lot of these problems because we just don't talk about it. And at this point, I'd even had a couple kids.
And so you're not an engineer. You're not a OBGYN, right? So how did you go about getting into tech and developing this product?
I know, I'm so lucky. So yeah, I don't have a business degree. I don't have, as you said, I'm none of those things. But I think that it was just this somewhat organic process where I'd had an experience where I gave birth in France. And I have the two kids, as I might have mentioned. And the older one was born in France, did this program afterwards, which is basically this concept where you go in, very similar to what we're doing, but sort of clunky and medical. You go in, there's a device, it goes in your body, connects to a big monitor, and you're playing these video games. And I thought it was hilarious and amazing. And then cut to, I have kids in California later, and no one gives two rats about, how you're doing. You're just basically at a heartbeat and go. And I'm really lucky because I had this idea. I started thinking about it. I talked to a few people and I was connected very quickly to incredibly capable engineers, OB-GYNs, and other experts who were able to sort of support me in bringing this idea to life.
And when did you become, is this the first time you're interested in tech? Did you ever think you were going to be in tech?
No, I had no idea I would be in the tech world. And it's hilarious because, I mean, there are times I don't even know how to get my printer working.
What's your advice to women that are interested in getting into tech?
You know, well, first of all, definitely, if there's something you're passionate about, research it, see if it's something viable for you and go for it. And then secondly, wherever your weaknesses are, which for me, there are many, find lots of people to come in and support you. And then as long, you know, in the end, you're still going to be so important because whoever's driving that train plays a huge role. And that's what I've come to see my role as, is being sort of the driver of the train, even though I'm so amazed and impressed with everybody I work with.
What is your calling?
Oh, you know, it's funny. And throughout my life, I've pretty much been an entrepreneur in almost everything I do, in the sense that I was, for example, an actress for a long time, and I never saw it this way, but you really have to get yourself out of bed every day and, you know, make a career for yourself. So I think my calling is to connect with people, to talk about things. I tend to have, I think one of my strengths, I should say, is that I can connect pretty easily with people. And I try to be as connected to something authentic as possible. So I think my calling is to just babble away with people about various things, not very eloquently, but in an authentic way.
Well, what have the challenges been for you as you've been pursuing this calling as it relates to the genie and broader?
So, you know, there's challenges that I expected and some I didn't expect it. So I'm creating a hardware product that apparently is pretty dang challenging. Even when you have very capable teams, it's more about the process, the time, the testing, the R&D, all of that takes a lot of time and a lot of skills. So that was a big challenge. And also just, you know, I would say sort of more internally, just believing in myself enough to wake up every day and keep this moving. I think that that can be very tiring sometimes, but luckily I've gotten to know other entrepreneurs who I can call and cry to when that happens. And they, you know, keep me going. They said, yep, it sucks, but you know what? Tomorrow's gonna be better. and it is. So
would you call them your mentors, or have you had a mentor in the process?
So it's interesting. I feel like I haven't had one mentor. Well, that's not true. I'm going to step back and say I have a good friend who's a few years ahead of me in her entrepreneurial journey with her startup. She has a health tech startup. So shout out to you, Megan. And I do call her, and she has really been a beacon and a light for me as I go through this. She's been able to empathize and support in a very unique way. So, yeah.
You're in LA. How has LA influenced the direction?
I love being in LA because we're close to, you know, the sort of hubs of big action, like, you know, the Bay Area and San Francisco. But at the same time, we're not so... we have so much other stuff going on. I think there's such a rich and diverse ecosystem of not just tech, but, you know, art and media and business, and so much is going on here. And I think it allows a really fresh perspective. I feel lucky to feel like I can connect with my consumer in what I feel like is a more authentic way than if I were elsewhere.
Is there another woman in tech, either here or elsewhere, that really inspires you?
Well, aside from my good friend, Megan, I think all women in tech are inspiring me. And I will say this, especially the other founders I've gotten to know while I'm working here, because it really takes a certain type of personality and tenacity to be able to keep doing this. And I say, just look to your peers. It's so inspiring to watch everyone just pick up and keep going.
What does Megan do?
So she has a company called Capture Proof. It's a platform that is HIPAA approved and allows patients to share their videos or pictures with their physician or health provider as they heal post-op and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it should be an obvious, but no, there's a lot of barriers to that.
Well, she's been doing great, you know, but she's a female co-founder in a very, you know, big health challenge space. And she's been going out and doing awesome. But
yeah, it's incredible how many barriers there are to doing something that in other industries is so just would be so much easier,
so
I
obvious.
Think.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
What's the best lesson that you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dream?
I think that the lesson I've learned is that, two things I would say. One is my tendency to see the glass half full, really comes into play here. And I've learned to really appreciate it and use it as my driving force, to really just sort of be optimistic about anything. And the other lesson, I think, you know, I've touched on this with you before, like I gotta be organized. I really have learned that lesson, try to be as organized as possible as early as possible.
What's next?
Oh my gosh, getting this product to market. So we're raising money now to take this product to market. It's my newest and biggest challenge. And so we're diving right in. It's kind of exciting.
What's your favorite tool?
Besides the Vagini.
I think that's a pretty good tool.
Yeah. I love my Vagini. Oh, that should be my tagline. I think I'm going to stop there. Full stop. Yeah.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
It's really, really inspiring to hear your story, especially the way you've just taken the bull by the horns. You're like, well, this doesn't exist. I'm going to go figure it out. I'm going to have it made. Hardware is not as easy as other tech. So really, thanks so much for sharing your story. It's been great having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you love this conversation as much as I did, check out our longer conversation along with another taboo tech, sex tech entrepreneur, Melanie Crystal, on the Art of Manufacturing podcast. We get into an even deeper discussion about the challenges, the entrepreneurial journey, and you can find more at artofmfg.com or search for the Art of Manufacturing on your favorite podcast player. It's a behind the scenes look at how entrepreneurs who make stuff are trying to make it in their industries. This is Z Holly in for Esprit DeVora. Thanks for listening to Women in Tech. Bye.
UpGuard, one of my favorite companies in Mountain View, combines asset discovery, security ratings, and vendor questionnaires for the only complete cyber risk solution. Not only do they keep us safe online, they empower women in tech internally. They focus on hiring female engineers to make sure that we rise to the top. So I welcome you to take a look at their job opportunities from Mountain View to New York, New York to Sydney, Australia. They are a company worth exploring. Their mentorship culture is magnetic. Mention the Women in Tech podcast when you apply. Just as they celebrate women in tech, we want to celebrate you too. So make sure to let us know when you've reached out to UpGuard and we'll make sure to feature you on the Women in Tech social channels. We believe in you. UpGuard.com. Visit them for yourself. You'll see exactly what I mean. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to WomenInTechPodcast.com. That's WomenInTechPodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.